meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Everybody and welcome. Here we go again. I can't believe it's a Friday. I wanted to be here. I don't know about yous.
Oh, yes.
Geraldine and Christina, Tony, hi.
Rick, over there. We're always on standby.
Superman, let's hope we don't need him today to fix your...
Everything's good so far.
Everything is fine so far. So yesterday I wanted to be on the show, you know? I really did. I wanted to, that was the last day of school. So we had the Mass. I had Mass in the morning, and then somebody had to have her confession. I had to do a confession afterwards, and you know, I can't refuse that. And then I had another appointment when I'm, you know, for, you just can't walk away from people that are going through their own
crisis
and all. And it was just one thing after another. And by the time I finished, I had just a little bit of time before the radio. And I said, there's no way I can go on the radio. I have, for one thing, I had no energy. Mm-hmm. And secondly, I hadn't prepared anything, you know. And I just couldn't. So I really intended to be here, and just couldn't do it. But here we are today,
we are,
you know,
right.
And it's been another one of those days, but that's the way life is, I think, you know. I sometimes think there's something wrong with me, you know. I think there's something that's really not right with me. Like I'm really a bit crazy, loco. I'm from another... planet, another time.
We all kind of get that way sometimes.
Yeah,
sometimes, but I live like that all the time.
You're describing how I feel a lot of times.
Well, that's why I guess I want to maybe look at that a little bit because, you know, I just finished the, well, because we're always a week ahead of ourselves here because we've got a, you know,
deadlines meet.
We live meeting deadlines, which is part of the stress, isn't it, really? Because you've got to...
We live in the future.
See, as I say, the parish is a unique place. And I don't know that people can really appreciate what happens in... Well, I guess it depends on the priest. And I guess, you know, because I can shut the door, close the church, and, you know, do my Sunday Mass, which is not a Mass, but they're Masses, you know. Mm-hmm. And I love it. And God gives me the grace, thank God, you know. This week we've got nine Masses coming up this weekend. Starting tomorrow, it's going to be nonstop.
The marathon begins.
It's going to be a marathon. And again, tomorrow's going to be, you go from the morning Mass to the sorrow of a death. So you got a funeral, then... a quinceañera, then you go into
baptism.
The Sunday Masses, baptisms, and all that. So it's, you know, you're running the gamut there, I guess, you know, of emotions, you know.
Sure.
And it's just as you're dealing with people, you know, nobody, and I think by God's grace, I have this capacity to focus on what is immediately in front of me, who is immediately in front of me, so that I think it's a grace that comes with the, with the priesthood, I guess, if we're open to it, because it is you're bouncing from one crisis to another, from somebody comes with something good has happened, you know, with a great they want to share the joy, you want to share that with them, then somebody comes with a horrible, horrific sorrow, something has happened. And so you enter into that, And all the while you're expending energy. Yes. You know, that's the thing, you're expending energy. And so I don't know what I'm trying to say. I guess I was writing, so I was writing the letters. We're trying to meet deadlines. Mm-hmm. I did the letter for this weekend already earlier in the week, and then today I had to get done the letter for Father's Day, so I'm ready, you know, a week and a half ahead of myself. Thank God I got that done, but trying to get that. And so while you're trying to put together your thoughts, you know, what is it that I want to say, or what is God going to say, you know, through me? You know, you because you hope and you pray that you're, I always use the word emissary, but his disciple, that it's really, you know, what is God speaking through me to you, knowing that, of course, I get in the way. I mean, I understand that too clearly. I mean, wouldn't it be nice? This is the thing that I was thinking about this morning as well. I'm going to be all over the place.
That's good.
Is this okay?
That's how life is.
Exactly.
So, because when I'm here, we're friends. We're in conversation. Mm-hmm. We're brothers and sisters. You know, we're trying to figure it all out. That's what it is. I don't have all the answers. And it's all there in the good book, right? You know, we've got the, Jesus laid out the blueprint, and he says, I go so that I can remain with you. You're not going to be an orphan. I call you, and I send you. But then I just say, you know, dear Lord, can you just kind of dictate, you know, just in other words, when I say dictate, I mean just you write this. You write this, you know, because the Lord said, Jesus said, I mean, so many things. He doesn't make it easy for anybody, I think, or maybe for some people, I don't know, but not for me. And it's not his part. It's not his fault. I'm not blaming the Lord. It's the nature of the exile. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not in the homeland. We're on the journey, right?
And it depends on how much of yourself you put into things.
Or how much
some people can be very detached from everything.
Sure.
And they don't ever get involved.
Which is something I would like to do sometimes, you
it
know.
Won't happen
and I want and this is so true though, you know. That's exactly what I was thinking about today as well. Why can I not just detach and just, you know, have fun? I have no fun. You know, this isn't fun for me. This is a battle. I feel like I'm projecting onto the people my own struggles, but it's not just my struggles. It's just that people project onto me. Mm-hmm. The world is projecting onto me its struggles, right?
Mm-hmm. We're on the same boat.
I'm going to trust. That's why we want to talk about this because I used the word this morning. I think it may be in speaking to Geraldine that so and so. I think I was making reference to somebody who is seemingly in la-la land, you know, where everything is, you know, it's happy.
Beautiful
and,
all the time.
You know, always on a high, flying high, you know, everything is, and why am I here in this, because I always say, you know, I say this to you people all the time, you know, we're not flying high, we're in the dirt of life, and this is where I think people might look at me and say, you know, you're nuts, you're crazy, you're, as the cardinal said, the Cardinal George, when he said, in my book, he said, this is a desperate prayer. endorse the book and write something, and he wrote, this is the story of a desperate priest in the inner city of Chicago in a struggling parish. And I thought, well, did you, Your Eminence, have to use the word desperate? I mean, it sounds like, but yet I think, you know, that's, that is, he's right on, you know? Mm-hmm. Now, to say that doesn't mean that, that I'm, hopeless. I think it's that, I have a certain passion for the way I want things to be.
Yeah.
You know, and I trust that the way I want things to be is the way God would want things to be, because I read the scriptures and I take it very seriously, you know. And so okay, so this is, you know, I've got to speak what resonates with the stuff that's going on inside me and all around me, you know, for what reason, for what purpose, but so that we can, so that we have the tools or the weapons to survive, you know, to fight the good fight and to claim victory in the battle. But again, you know, I could get off this road. I don't know that I could, because I don't know that I'd be at, I think I wouldn't.
You couldn't.
This is so woven into my identity. Mm-hmm. Am I making any sense at all?
You are.
Yeah, you are.
The struggle. Totally. So I was thinking this morning, you know, our enemy, as the church teaches, is the devil, the world, and the flesh, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're in a spiritual battle. We're in a spiritual battle. And I don't think anybody really goes through this unscathed unless we have given ourselves over to the flesh, the devil, and the world. Now, when I say the devil, I'm not talking about demonic possession,
mm-hmm.
but that we're more under the influence mm-hmm. of the devil than under the lordship of Christ Jesus. Yes. But to remain under the lordship of Christ is I'm sorry to say, but it's to have to fight, have to, you know. I think I wrote in a letter last week, because I've been focusing on the men, on the not just fathers, because we're coming towards Father's Day, and I just finished a letter for Father's Day. But I'm looking at all men as fathers, that we have to father the people of God, our families, our friends, our society, our civilization. And all this is under siege, you know, where there's a war that has been waged. As I was saying in the letter, I think today, the distortion or the perversion or making superficial the gospel, the church, Christ. We've so domesticated Christ, you know, so that he is in the thinking of many people, it seems to me, it just is this nice guy, you know, who lived 2,000 mm-hmm. years ago, a really nice guy who just told us to love each other and, you know, and everything's going to be fine. But he wasn't pride because he was just a nice guy. He was quite powerful. He made people what they were not and who they should be, right?
Right.
He was a of the people. He was a thorn in the side, and they had to silence him because they had chosen a way. Well, I have to be careful, because when I even say that, you know, many of the, let's say the Pharisees and the scribes who didn't accept him, they were devout, mm-hmm. devout men of God, but they didn't read properly or deeply the prophets, the prophetic message
mm-hmm.
of yeah. sacred scripture. And so they weren't really, they were sincerely devout, I think many of them, most of them, perhaps. But they, and maybe this is the thing that's so hard for people today, is to really delve deeply, deeply into the mystery of God who is revealing himself in history, God who is so patient and so merciful and persevering, faithful, as he slowly but surely walks people, his people, because all people are God's people, but through history to that messianic moment in time when God took our flesh, he visited us, he lived among us, he laid our rent, as I say all the time, and redeemed us, atoning for our sins. Now, this is, of course, the section of the Trinity. This Sunday is Trinity Sunday. You know, three persons in one God: God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Which I have to say quite honestly, as I, the more and more I think about this, reflect on this, the Holy Trinity is not that complicated. Now, having said that, I don't know that I can communicate it in a way that I can make it understood, this mystery. It is a mystery. But when you think of the whole of God's creation, and this is God's creation, so in essence, God has projected himself in creation. Does that make sense? It's from God that all things have come into existence, mm-hmm. and he created people in relation one to another, in relation to creation, to the natural order of things. So everything is related. Everything is, we don't have an identity apart from God. We have an identity apart from each other. I can only know myself in relation to you, right?
Right.
You know? So isn't that in a sense, a projection of this God who is Trinitarian, three persons, a communion of three persons in one God? And God so loved the world, the Father sent his Son to redeem a fallen world through the offering of his Son in sacrifice. And all this was prefigured and prepared for us in the Hebrew Scriptures. And when Jesus redeemed us and he returned to the Father, he longed for that return to the Father away from the exile, the valley of tears, the place of trial and tribulation, the place of distress, the place of battle, the enemies again being the devil, the world, and the flesh, the world that is under the dominion of Satan, who Jesus said is the father of lies and the prince of darkness, the prince of this world, right? The flesh, I was thinking too, the flesh is an enemy. You know, we think automatically, right? We think it's the concupiscence and, you know, it's sex and pleasure and all that, but is it not also the sickness of the body? That's the flesh. Isn't that an attack on the soul? Doesn't that mm-hmm. disturb the soul? Have a capacity to rob peace from the soul? You know, unless we're able to, you know, unite our own sufferings to those of Christ. And by the Spirit have, you know, some meaning come from that. But anyway, we got to take a break here. But we'll come back, and I guess I'm what is my question? I said we're going to maybe be all over the place, or I'm going to. But I'm bringing into this hour again. I think again, the reality of the struggle, the reality of the battle. Mm-hmm. The reality of the fight, because I see it on all fronts. You know, I see it. It's going on in the nation, in the government. It's going on in the family. You see it all the time. I deal with it all the time. You know, the struggle, the fight, the battle to keep a family united, to keep people down on this. You know, on that path, which happens to be a narrow path. The path that the Lord calls us to walk together, which means obedience to the commandments of God, so that we can, you know, in other words, it's just not the, if we just say, well, everybody just do what you want, you do your thing and I do my thing, and, you know, no judgment, please. Your right is your right, my right is my right, but what does that create? But chaos, mm-hmm. anarchy.
Yeah.
It doesn't respect the inner longing within us for a proper communion, not only with God, but with each other.
Yeah.
I mean, I think one of the real tragedies today is what's happened to the family. Mm-hmm. A real tragedy. And I have to be very compassionate and really merciful. Because how could it not be when you consider the indoctrination that has come, especially, as I say so often, by way of the media, the pop culture, the music people listen to today, everything we see, everything that's all around us, we're very much affected by that if we're not in the discipline of the faith. And the faith is a discipline. It's a work. It's a discipline. It's a battle. It's about sacrifice. It's with the grace of God, the power of God's Spirit, being able to deny oneself things that in and of themselves may not be bad, but if we give over to this or that or whatever, have the capacity to enslave us. I mean, I don't know. Life is sacrifice, and even if we think we can do it our way, any way we want, and we might be successful, seemingly successful for some time, but sooner or later, something will give way. It's going to disrupt the little kingdoms we build for ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, when you think of a family or you think of a marriage, the hope is that two people go into a marriage with a sincere love one for another and with a desire to be in a lifelong relationship and to build family and to, in sickness and in health, and what are they saying? In sickness and health and
good times and bad times.
Good times and bad times. That they're going to persevere, carry each other through life, mm-hmm. and yet so often that doesn't happen. It doesn't happen so often, you know, really. And even I was reading an article the other day that baby boomers.
Yes, I saw that.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
Yeah, the high divorce
rate. It's amazing.
As they get into their 60s and all that. And
at
they
that
get
point, older. Why would you?
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they say people are living longer and they're healthier. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, why do I stay with this woman or why do I stay with this man? Or what?
Unless it's always been faulty from the beginning. That's what I can see in something like that. But I think people that generally learn to love each other and through sickness and health, through good times and bad times, at this point, it's forever.
Should be.
Should.
But with some people, it's the grass is always greener elsewhere.
I think we all go through that, though, don't you?
Yes, we do.
You know? Because it is sacrificial. And so, you know, it's like, why am I doing this when, you know, it seems that everybody around me, they're having a fine time. Mm-hmm. And why am I struggling through this relationship or this kind of commitment, whatever it might be?
I think sometimes that's the trick. That's the deceiving.
The deception.
To make you look. And then you lose all mind, drop everything, and take that. And guess what? You're kind of back where you started.
Sure.
In a lot of times.
A lot of times, yeah. Anyway, we'll take a break. We'll come back and try to figure this out. I don't know if we can figure it out, but we'll try to figure it out. So I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it. St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststanschurch.org. That's ststanschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the Donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
You've looked for the right school for your child. But what school? You've worked hard to instill right reason and the values that God has established. And yet, you might be concerned not only with your child's school's quality of education, but by what they may be teaching, maybe undermining what you have worked so hard to instill. Perhaps St. Stanislaus Kostka School could be the positive answer to your questions. Academic excellence and Christ-centered values are the hallmarks of St. Stanislaus Kostka School. To find out what may be the best opportunity for your child, visit stanschicago.org. That's stanschicago.org. See the videos, see the students, and see what may be the best decision you can make for your child. Contact the school online or pick up the phone and call St. Stanislaus Kostka School to arrange for a visit at 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So I've got, actually, this might help to put things in perspective. This is the other thing about me. I'm all over the place. So I talk here, I talk there, I forget. Because I'm not taking notes. You know, what did I say at this mass? What did I say mass? What did I say to this group or that group? So I might have mentioned this before. Maybe this was something I brought up last week. It's something I wanted to. Mm-hmm. And maybe I did, maybe I didn't. But anyway, I'll go back to this. Because on one hand, you know, it's like we, and I mean, even in the church, and I think this is the as I say, the devil, and I'm bringing up the devil again, not that that's, he's our point of reference is Jesus, but we have to know that we have these, if you feel that you're in a battle, okay, let's just, so I'm really speaking to those who feel they're in the struggle, in the battle. If you don't, thank God, you know, God bless you. If you're not in a battle, if there's no battle going on in the mind or in the body or in the soul and the spirit, and you look around and you think everything is just fine and good, God bless you. I mean, that's good. You probably died and you're in heaven, you know. But for most people, you know, every day is a bit of a battle, it's a struggle. And I've said this before, I do have moments. I have moments where things just seem to be so right and good. And like Peter on the Mount Tabor, who said, "Lord, it's good that we're here. Let us stay here."
Yes.
And the Father said, "Hey, listen, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him." Mm-hmm. And Jesus says, "We're getting down off the mountain. We got to go down into the marketplace, into the Valley of Tears, into the place of the battle. We got to make our way to Jerusalem, and the cross is there waiting for us." And that's the reality. I mean, that's the reality. I mean, we're foolish to think we can perpetuate, and we try to perpetuate those moments of, those Mount Tabor experiences, when you're on the top of the mountain or on the top of the world, or those nirvana, you know, or let's just, I don't want to use nirvana, but, you know, you get a, this is like heaven, you know, to try to perpetuate that, you can't do it. You're going to need some kind of a drug, or you're going to need this or that, or whatever. You're going to need something to keep you in, you know, a state that is, and even then, you know, if you go the way of the world, then it exasperates. Is that the word?
Exasperates.
The problem.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It'll because it is. As St. Paul says, if you give free rein to the flesh of its nature will lust against the spirit. And basically, you enslave yourself, and we can see that. And we're in a society where people are suffering all kinds of addictions, all kinds of enslavements. I spoke to a gentleman. I've spoken to various people over the years who, once they were able to become sober, you know. People who drink or do drugs or something, and they did it for years and years and years. I just spoke to somebody who gave his, he just told me, he says, you know, and he went through a very, very difficult time and almost lost his life. But since then, he, by God's grace, cold turkey, you know, no more alcohol, no more drugs. And he said, you know, he said, it's amazing the things that I see that I never saw before. Mm-hmm. It's like all of a sudden I'm no longer in this fog. Mm-hmm. I'm no longer in this cloud.
Yeah.
But I see, I can appreciate the beautiful things in life, the beautiful things in God's, things that I didn't see before. And also he said, you know, realizing that I can come to an inner peace, mm-hmm. an inner calm, that I have that capacity, really with the help of God's grace, you know, to walk in communion with God, to reach out and depend, and really to place my dependence on God. And this is the key in life, I think, is number one, we have to persevere, which is very hard. Mm-hmm. You got to pray for that gift of perseverance. Let me stay with you. Help, don't let me get away. Lead me not into temptation. Deliver me from the evil one, right? Give me this day my daily bread. In other words, give me what I need today to be sustained, that I not collapse or cave or fall. Save me from myself, because it is not easy. It's not easy. And see, the thing that I find so hard sometimes is that, and this is where I say, I wish sometimes I say this, when I'm in the struggle, you know, after the struggle, I'll just give you an example. Like, I had to get this letter ready. Mm-hmm. For Father's Day. Well, I just don't sit down and write any kind of a letter. I mean, I really put my heart and soul into it. I really take it to prayer. I write in a deep way, I think, you know. And when I say that, I'm not patting myself on the back, because I was thinking about this morning as well. I never think of myself as a writer, and yet I write. I wrote mm-hmm. a book, but I don't think of myself as a writer. Some people say, are you a writer? I never thought of myself. I don't think of myself as a writer. In fact, I remember one after I had written this book, I went to a Starbucks, and do you know, and this is really true, the what do they call it, the barista or the
barista,
the barista. I heard that one. The woman who was serving preparing the coffee, I just drink black coffee. I don't do any of the fancy stuff, you know.
Just give me black coffee.
Just give me black coffee. And she said, you know, are you an author? Are you a writer?
Oh.
Yeah, she did.
Yes, I am.
I said, well, as a matter of fact, and you know, I thought that was really odd that she asked me that question. Mm-hmm. I said, well, yeah, I am. I wrote a book, you know, but mm-hmm. I never, so maybe God was just trying, I don't know what. But the point is, I never think of myself as a writer, and yet I write all the time.
Yes.
And I, you know, it's deep. It is deep. I mean, it's so deep. When I say that, believe me, I'm not patting myself on the back. That's why I think I'm crazy sometimes, because who's going to relate to this? Not that people aren't deep, but our society is such that, you know, We kind of shy away from the deep things of life because, you know, we want it to be easy, I think. I don't know. I'm just kind of talking today, but I was thinking about that. So I never thought of myself as a writer, and I never think of myself as a speaker, and yet I speak. My life is speaking.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, but I don't think of myself as a speaker. So he says, are you a speaker? Well, I speak, but I am a speaker. I mm-hmm. you know, I do it every day. I'm not an organized thinker. I'm not an organized speaker to a large, like I don't like to do conferences where I've done those, where I don't like to do that, because I like to be somewhat free, you mm-hmm. know. I don't want to feel stilted. But anyway, that's the other thing. But then I was thinking the same thing. You know, are you a pastor? Well, yeah, but I don't think of myself as a pastor. A priest? Yeah, but I don't think of myself as a priest, and yet I know I'm a priest. Mm-hmm. I'm a pastor, but I don't. You know what? I see myself as a boy, to be honest, a child, a boy. I still think of myself as a young man, you know. And then I look in the mirror and I say, "Oh, geez, what happened here?" You know, this is. So I am a priest. I am a pastor. I am a speaker. I am a writer. This is what I do.
Mm-hmm. But do you love those things?
No, not really. I don't know. I think I do.
I think you do. That's why you don't consider yourself.
I do, but I think it's such a struggle.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's such a struggle. And that's where the point that I wanted to make, I was in the chapel, and this happens so often, and this is, I'd say, the last 2 days, because I know I had to get this letter done. Because today was, for me, this was the deadline today, because I got a full weekend, and then I have to go to Rochester on Monday. So I had to get it done today. Mm-hmm. So I started working on it yesterday, but it was such a busy day, and there were so many distractions. And when you get these distractions, you can't focus. Mm-hmm. And so you lose your focus, and you got to try to get back. Where was I? What was I? Where was I going to go with this? And so this morning I was... In the chapel, because I have a little desk in my chapel, so that's, I do a lot of most of my writing I do right there in the chapel. So I think I'm doing it in the context of prayer. So I have the Blessed Sacrament always. I have the Blessed Sacrament exposed, and so I'm asking you, Lord, let the Spirit guide me. But then I think, why are you making me think so hard? Why am I thinking so hard? You know, this is hurting my brain. I'm having to think too hard. You should be doing the thinking for me, you know, so that you get the point that I'm making. Right. So that, you know, it's just as I write, then it's like the Lord is the Holy Spirit has taken possession of my mind and my hand, and I'm writing. You know, God is writing this letter, but it doesn't happen that way. And yet, you know, as you there may be nothing, they call that writer's block, and then all of a sudden, a thought comes into the mind, into the heart, and a concept or a message, let's just say, and so you begin to write, and then all of a sudden, it's coming, coming, it's starting to flow, you know. But why should it be so hard? Why should it be so hard? And yet I was thinking this morning in Genesis, you know, by the sweat of the brow.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're going to work. But it's not just the physical work, but it's the mental work, spiritual. I mean, everything is work. Mm-hmm. I'm tired of working. Aren't you?
Yes. Too much work.
Everything is work.
I know.
Prayer is work. Our spiritual mm-hmm. self is, you know, maintaining spiritual health is work, physical health is work, mental health is work.
Yes.
You gotta, you know, it's work that, yeah, okay, so I wash my car, put gas in the car, a day later, the car's dirty, I gotta wash it again.
Needs more gas.
A couple of days later, I need more gas. And, you know, I just say, why?
Work of life.
Right, anyway, it's just life, right?
Mm-hmm.
What am I talking? What's the point that I'm trying to make? I don't know.
It's not easy.
It's not easy.
It's not easy.
It's not easy. It's not easy. But if we're all in the work of life, then it becomes doable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we need. See, the thing is, we need each other.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We need to all do our part, and. So when it comes to the faith, it would make it much easier if we were all okay. I'll use this as a practical example, the church. Okay, so as Catholics, we know that we have an obligation, right? One of the laws of God, one of the Ten Commandments. So we just talk about the Ten Commandments, but keep holy the Sabbath.
Mm-hmm.
So we have an obligation. We're taught from the time we're children. That one of the commandments of God is to keep holy the Sabbath. So that means for us as Catholics, we go to Mass on Sunday. We give public witness and worship. This is necessary for the good of the whole body, because we need each other, you know, there. It you feel supported when you know that others are there. We're all there. We feel supported. And then the and then, of course, we have to make our contribution to the church, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is from the biblical time. I mean, the Bible tells us Jesus or Joseph and Mary certainly made their contribution to the temple. So they paid their tithe, you know. Jesus did the same thing. We know that from sacred scripture. So if all the Catholic people, all the baptized, were to fulfill that obligation, everybody goes to Mass, everybody gives their tithe, their contribution, then it would make my job easier as a pastor in that sense that, you know, we wouldn't have to have all these fundraisers and we wouldn't have to figure out where are we going to get money. We wouldn't have to be talking about, you know, we need 100 patrons, we need this, we need... I really don't like to talk about... People know I don't like to talk about money.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, people will say, well, you know, you're a pastor, you know, if you get a... Is it part of your responsibility? Of course it is. And so I can't neglect the Word of God in favor of, you know, the money thing. Mm-hmm. Although I do it. There's no doubt I do it. And it's not right. It's not fair, I think. I'm not talking about to myself, but to those who do their part. Do you get the point I'm trying to make? So, number one, when we don't have the discipline of the faith, we don't have this regard for the commandments of God, because that's part of the discipline of the faith. And people absent themselves from Mass, the whole body suffers.
Yeah.
Number one, we're not supported in the prayer. See, it used to be, and maybe I'm exaggerating, but I know that this was the case, because I didn't hear it even from the people here. Yeah, there were people who didn't. But for the most part, you know, there was a time when Sunday was be observed as the day.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about work, but that's the day to rest.
Right.
But, okay, yeah, life is work, so I'm going to give you one day to rest, and you're going to rest, and you worship God. We gather as family, and you gather with your friends. And it was a day some of us, I mean, you remember. Christina wouldn't know this.
I loved it.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Tony probably, I don't know if you remember or not, but there was a time when there wasn't, stores were closed on Sundays.
I've heard the stories.
Even restaurants were closed on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was closed.
Yeah.
Everything stopped.
And people, they went to Mass, they gathered in their homes with their families, they went on their rides, they did something, you know. It was a day when... when everybody stopped, everything stopped, and it was observed as a... And actually, in Israel, the Jews observe the Sabbath, and everything stops. I remember I was on a pilgrimage with a group, and it was the Sabbath. It was Saturday, and it was just amazing. You know, the streets... in this very Jewish part of Jerusalem, was the streets, everything was shut, closed, but everybody was outside.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was out. They were just relaxed, you know, very relaxed, very, you know, talking. The kids were playing. The adults were talking. I mean, and for the Muslims, the same thing on Friday. Friday was their day of fast, or their day of the day of rest.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But in the West, we've lost that, we've lost it, and that's and the church suffers as
a
result.
It's a disservice to everybody. We human beings need a time where there is no babble, where there is no running around endlessly. And if you work for a living, you have enough of that on a daily basis. So we need time not to do all that running around.
Well, that's what's killing the soul of society.
I know
think.
That.
because it's just crazy. I keep saying, how many times do I say that on the radio? But I'm saying around here, I'm always saying it to people. I'm saying, Christine, I say it to you all the time. We say it to each other.
Yes.
This shouldn't be there. This is crazy.
No.
See, the problem is we've got access to all, because of emails and cell phones and all that. It's just like
it's
more stress.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, these things are good in and of themselves, but there's also this dark side to that. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we got to take a break. Okay. We'll do that in obedience to Nick, and we'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
You've looked for the right school for your child, but what school? You've worked hard to instill right reason and the values that God has established. And yet, you might be concerned not only with your child's school's quality of education, but by what they may be teaching, maybe undermining what you have worked so hard to instill. Perhaps St. Stanislaus Kostka School could be the positive answer to your questions. Academic excellence and Christ-centered values are the hallmarks of St. Stanislaus Kostka School. To find out what may be the best opportunity for your child, visit ststanschicago.org. That's ststanschicago.org. See the videos, see the students, and see what may be the best decision you can make for your child. Contact the school online or pick up the phone and call St. Stanislaus Kostka School to arrange for a visit at 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Did you know that God constructed women's arms differently than men's? I am Father Thomas Loya with a Theology of the Body moment for the Tabor Life Institute. The axis of a woman's outstretched arms angles inward at the elbow, whereas in men, the axis is straighter. This enables women to bring things to themselves easier than men. Everything about a woman's body, her mind, heart, and soul, is designed for connectedness and to bring the world close to her heart. The language of her body says that God is close, tender, and loving. But she also has what John Paul II called a genius. It is her gift of receptivity stamped in the very design of her body. The Pope said that this makes woman the archetype of the human race because God designed the human race simply to receive his love. To find out more about the theology of the body, visit taborlife.org. Taborlife.org.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as we're just talking about, as always, the struggles of life. So I was, and again, this is, I don't know if I had mentioned this here. I've got all kinds of things here that I wanted to get to, and I'm not getting to any of this, but there was a reading. Did I talk about this Katy Perry and the Dangerous Woman
tour?
Because it was at the Dangerous Woman tour that there was the terrorist attack. Mm-hmm. I was reading an article the other day about dangerous men meet dangerous women. Oh, wow. and I was thinking, on one hand, there's absolutely no justification for terrorism.
No.
That extreme Islamic terrorist. By the way, you don't hear it too much in the news, but what's going on in the Philippines is astounding as well. What ISIS is doing to the Filipino people. I saw the destruction of a church, which was a talk about offensive. It's one thing, it's horrific to the killings, the sure. people and all that, mm-hmm. but then they go in and they destroy the church and they desecrate. I mean, they're they showed them taking the statues down and chopping them, build, horrible. Just it's talk about demonic, demonic. So you've got that, but then so this article was Dangerous Men Meet Dangerous Women, and I was thinking too, so I'm certainly not looking at it from the perspective of a terrorist, that this is offensive to me, but it is offensive to me, from a Catholic Christian perspective, the vulgarity, the immodesty, the gestures, you know, just the stuff that that now seems to be hailed as art and on the edge and all that. Even just the title "Dangerous Women" now, dangerous. Do I? So I'm thinking if I had children, I have young daughters. Would I want them exposed to that kind of stuff? I know that I would not.
No.
And yet it seems that parents, because it's just become the norm.
Mm-hmm.
It's become the norm. So we've got a problem in the society as well. So on one hand, I say we've lost the discipline of the faith. And I really mean that. We've lost it. It's there. Some people live that discipline, but for the most part, what was at one time the norm, and so you would feel somewhat compelled to go to Mass even if you didn't feel like it because, well, that's where everybody's going.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do. That's who we are. And we observe this day of rest, and we have the obligation is to be with the family and to be with friends and to enjoy, a little fiesta, a little bit of fun, a little bit of relaxation, right? But it seems today we're all over the place, and we don't have that discipline. We no longer value the commandments of God, and you can't argue that. That's a fact of life now.
Mm-hmm.
We don't value the commandments of God. I was reading too, this the devil, because there was a Jesuit. Who made some reference to the devil as simply a symbol. And I was reading an article, I wanted to bring that up today too, but where the Pope himself has really spoken, more so than many popes in the recent papacies, about the reality of the devil. And that, but as we don't, as generally speaking, people don't believe in the devil, nor do they believe in Christ as the Redeemer, the God in the flesh. But he's just, as I said, this nice man who did nice things and told us to love. So anyway, going back to the concert, the Dangerous Women, okay, after the terrorist attack and all that, I was listening with the celebrities, their reaction to it, and rightly, people are disturbed. They should be. We should all be. But to just say, well, we got to love on each other. Did I talk about that?
I was leading up to it. If you weren't going to say it, I was going to say it.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. So we're going to love on each other, unity, no barriers, no borders, and all that kind of stuff, Well, there's a deeper problem here.
Much deeper.
And it's the radical secularization of society and the rejection of religion or Christianity. It's amazing how Islam is really coddled in our society today, but Christianity is portrayed, presented in a distorted, in a perverted way, very superficial, and that's outside, but also within. We kind of stopped. If I brought this up before, that's forgive me for bringing it up again. But it's God, so it's good to hear it again.
Mm-hmm.
But Saint Paul in his letter to the Ephesians, and I don't know. I think this was a reading on the Feast of the Ascension a couple of weeks ago. But Saint Paul said, in the beginning of the reading, he says, "I plead with you, I ask you, to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." With perfect humility, meekness, and patience, bear with one another lovingly. So, is that any different from what Katy Perry or Ariana Grande or any of these people are saying? We got to love on each other, be at peace, be patient, no barriers, no borders, right?
Much different.
But this is what St. Paul is saying. So we can stop right there, that there's... we're one body, one spirit. We're all brothers and sisters. Yes, of course, that's right. We're all God's children. That is so true. So we could stop there and just continue in a way of behaving, a way of speaking that is really contrary to the high calling of Christ Jesus, to be a dignified, noble, graceful people, obedient to the laws of God, sacrificing, taking care of each other. No barriers. I'm sorry to say, but there are barriers. There are boundaries. There are borders. We got to live within those borders. Or as my father would say, you know, there were eight of us. You don't think you're just going to do what you want to do, you know, because it's not all about you. You know, you're not the only one here. There's, you know, you've got to do your part so that we can all live with a certain amount of peace and have some order in the house. But St. Paul goes on to say, he says, you know, let us no longer be children tossed here and there, carried about by every wind of doctrine that originates in human trickery and skill in proposing error. And this is what's really taken a hold of society. It's really human trickery, all kinds of doctrines that originate in human trickery, proposing error. He says, no, we profess the truth and love and grow to the full maturity of Christ, the head, and through him the whole body grows. And everybody has a part to contribute to this body. So he says, I tell you that you should no longer live as the pagans do. Their minds are empty. Their understanding is darkened. They are estranged from a life in God because of their ignorance and their resistance. Without remorse, they have abandoned themselves to lust and the indulgence of every sort of lewd conduct. And if that doesn't describe much of what's happening in the West, in our society, I don't know what does. And there's so many places in Scripture where we see that. And this is where I say, you know, not only have we lost our the discipline of the faith, we've lost our sensitivity, a real sensitivity to God and to the things of God, that even to speak about virtue, discipline, the worship of God, prayer, obeying the commandments, it's just kind of ingrained in the minds of people that this is all rather prudish or rather old world, some kind of antiquated fantasy that doesn't have a place in this post-Christian world, as some people are calling it, that we're living in. And so the struggle goes on, right?
Yes.
We feel it all the deeper, all the greater, the struggle to stay on this path, to be that little flock, to be the Anawim that bears light in this darkness. That's what we're called to do. All right, everybody. Have a nice weekend. We'll be back soon. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thoughts. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. To say when right from wrong has become so obscure. It does not take that long, can you see?